I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Everybody, welcome in to another episode of the allegedly award-nominated, still not ranked, Outside the Box podcast. It's episode number 213. It's KB coming at you from Underground Studios, along with the boy, the man, the myth, the legend, DJ. If you can hear it in my voice, my mom did some research on this tonight, too. Said allergy season is going to hit harder and worse than ever because of climate emissions this year. And that's where I'm at right now. Climate is fucking up my allergies, and I feel like absolute trash, but we are going to get into the NLL trade deadline because we have Thursday night lacrosse to preview. That's why you're getting this episode on a Thursday in your podcast feeds. We're also potentially going to go through some of the PLL matchups, just some of the highlights because they dropped the schedule earlier this week, so we'll dive into some of those, but more specifically, going to get into the NLL trade deadline, our picks of the week, and all that jazz. But before we get started, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTBLaxPod, Twitter, Instagram. Follow DJ at SCS underscore next great on Twitter. Follow me at KBIZZL311 on the Twitter machine. Check out the website, undergroundsportsphiladelphia.com, for all of our written content. And subscribe to the podcast feeds, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. We are there, and subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. We're 25 subscribers away from full video episodes of every single Underground Sports podcast going up on the channel, so go subscribe over there. Check out all the content we got going down over on the YouTubes. Before we get started, big thank you to our sponsors, the homies over at Tomahawk Shades, the best small batch eyewear in the game. You guys can go to TomahawkShades.com, use code USP for 25% off at checkout at TomahawkShades.com. You know, the PLL schedule's here. You already know where you're going this summer. You got to have your shades on you, and it's Tomahawk Shades until the end. They're the best small batch eyewear in the game. So use promo code USP for 25% off your order at TomahawkShades.com. Kenwood Beer, it's the best light beer on the planet right in our backyard in Philadelphia. New cans coming this summer. No more sleeves. It's all on the can. They got the social handles on there. Go to kenwoodbeer.com and use the Kenny Tracker to see who's got Kenwood Beer on tap in the Philadelphia area. You got to be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. What's going on, brother?
Dog. Excuse me. Dog, it's been a crazy week for me. I'm working, going through another process. And I'm also, you know, coaching. Coach Deej is in the house, full effect. I'm getting my goalie together, getting that situation together. My boys are shooting, they're passing and catching. I'm excited. It's just tough right now because I'm in a position where I either got to help a kid convince his dad to either partially pay the team fee or not pay it at all and let him play because he wants to play goalie. Or if that doesn't work out, I have to put a kid who's never played lacrosse at is willing to step up and play. So either way, I'm going to be working with new goalie, which is going to be the toughest part of the season. But we're going to have fun and we're going to win games. I know that.
Coach Deej in the cut. And at least one thing you don't have to worry about, TJ, with high school lacrosse is trade deadlines. We got the NLL trade deadline on deck along with our recap of last week's games. We'll toss in there just because the games were bonkers.
Let me say let me say, if there was a trade deadline, I would be very active. My team would be
on his Nat St. Laurent grind.
Oh, my team would be so good. Because like, there's so many schools around me where I'd be like, it'd probably be a lot of cash trading. Like, yeah, I'm going to throw you cash because your school doesn't have a lacrosse team, so that kid's going to come play on my team.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot of that, but like, there's a goalie at Gull Lake school right near mine. There's no team for him to play on, but he plays summer ball and like fall ball and stuff. But he has no team to play on in spring, but I can't have him because of MHSAA rules.
Stupid. Just dumb. We'll also recap some of the games from last week. A lot of them were blowouts, which I hate when a majority of the games are blowouts because then it's just like, all right, we can move on to the next one. But we're going to get into the trade deadline recap in the NLL because some of these moves that went down on Monday and Tuesday were absolutely insane. We will start with Halifax, though, as they placed Stephen Keough on the active roster from the COVID protocol list and subsequently traded Stephen LeBlanc and their second-round pick in the 2024 entry draft to Panther City in exchange for Dawson Theed. That then turned into a three-team trade where Stephen LeBlanc is now a member of the Georgia Swarm. It's wild. The Georgia Swarm acquired LeBlanc for their second-round pick in this upcoming draft, the 2022 entry draft, so a three-team trade pretty much involving Stephen LeBlanc. You and I were talking a couple days ago off-pod. We were like, where's Stephen LeBlanc been? Like, it was one of those things where we were just confused why Halifax wasn't using him. He's a Halifax guy. Like, he's from there. It was confusing why he hadn't made more noise, especially coming off of a successful career with the New England Black Wolves, with Callum Crawford, them kind of being a 1-2 punch in New England. Then he signed the 1-year contract with Halifax. Halifax gets Dawson Theed out of it. Panther City gets two draft picks out of it. And Georgia Swarm now have Stephen LeBlanc, Lyle Thompson, Shane Jackson, Jordan Hall, Ethan Walker, and allegedly, Miles Thompson is coming back. We talked about that off pod last week when we saw the news that Miles Thompson is now on a kind of like, you know, wait and see rotation for the Georgia Swarm, but it looks like he's making his way back to playing for the first time since 2019-2020 in either league, which is huge. What do you make of this Stephen LeBlanc trade? Who do you think won? Who do you think lost? And I truly don't know what to make of it.
Winner loser is hard to say because it's one of those things where I feel like both teams addressed an issue that they really needed. Halifax, obviously, their last couple games they looked a little bit different defensively and in transition. So I forgot who they went out and got.
Dawson Theed.
Dawson Theed comes in and he fills both those roles well. He was playing that role in Panther City, and he was given a lot of help, especially in transition, setting up Patrick Dodds with a lot of open opportunities. So I think him going to Halifax is good for them. And then them shipping off LeBlanc was weird. But obviously with him not playing the last few games, it made sense. Like, you instantly texted me and said, well, that's where he's been. And, that's, you know,
there's the making sense of the Sean Evans trade.
Yeah, that too, you know. And it was like, okay, now he's not going to play there. And he's going to a place where they had enough offensively, but now they're over the top. And they're a team where they're playing in shootouts. They remind me very much of my Green Bay Packers. They're a team who doesn't have the strongest defense, but they know you just got to hold it to, you know, keep it close, and your offense is going to do it. The Packers know if they keep it within three, Aaron Rodgers is going to go down and score a touchdown at the end of the game, and they win. It's the same thing over in Georgia. They know they keep it a 1-2-goal game, the offense can work a miracle and come out with a win. So I think he just adds to that ambiance that they play down there. I don't like it. I don't think you should ever play with a team like that. But they do it. They work with it. So I think adding Stephen LeBlanc was a good add to that ambiance.
I was just bummed because I thought LeBlanc fit really well with Panther City, and then for them to go and flip him immediately almost, I was bummed because I was like, oh, I kind of like what this is going to bring to the table for their offense. It kind of brings in that veteran that they lost when they traded Ryan Banesh earlier this year. Gives Dodds, you know, a secondary option up top for them to kind of play a two-man game offensively. But, I mean, he goes to Georgia now, and Panther City's accumulating draft picks, and Halifax is trying to get back on track after losing two games last weekend. The biggest winner of the trade deadline, though, to me, we're going to get into their first trade, was the New York Riptide. My goodness. Like, I didn't see this coming from them at all. I liked this first trade a lot, and I thought this was kind of where it was going to plateau for them. I thought this was like, okay, cool pickup. This is a good, solid move for maybe this year, and then and next year you kind of insert him into your rotation full-blown and see where this player we're going to talk about fits. You're hype. It's a Michigan man. The Bandits traded Brent Noseworthy and their fourth round pick in the 2022 entry draft to the New York Riptide for their first selection in the 2024 entry draft. And subsequently, the Bandits placed the practice player, Jordan Storos, on the active roster from the practice player list and removed the practice player tag. So Storos is going to be there for the remainder of the season on the active roster, no longer a practice squad player. I like this move for New York. I mean, you really don't know what their situation is going to be in 2024 in terms of draft positioning. So you do run that risk of, you know, potentially giving the Buffalo Bandits a high 2024 selection. We also don't know who's going to be draft eligible in 2024. That's still 2 years away. We can barely focus on this coming year. But Brent Noseworthy, I think, is a guy that in his rookie season before COVID shortened the 2020 year was really finding his groove in the box game. And now he goes to New York with a team that plays more of an open style of offense, is going to allow him to really show off his skill set more so than he would in Buffalo. And for the Riptide to get a draft pick as well in this for this year in the fourth round. A lot of people sleep on the fourth round in the NLL draft. It's a solid, you know, depth drafting round, and you can find some superstars in the fourth round of the NLL draft. I mean, even in the second round, when you see some of these second round picks getting thrown around, which we'll talk about later on, like Trevor Baptiste was a second round pick in the 2018 NLL draft. Like, there's a lot of talent that you can find across the NLL draft, and for the Riptide to go and make their first kind of big move via trade with this new regime to go get Brent Noseworthy, I think is a solid addition. He's a guy that's played in the PLL as well with Atlas, so he brings a lot of skill sets to this roster, and I think he's going to complement, you know, Teat, Callan Crawford, Kieran McArdle, and the rest of those boys really, really well, especially if he plays this weekend.
I really hope he goes into, well, one, please tell the people the words I told you when you texted this to me.
Oh, what did you say? I got to find it.
I'll come back to that, but I really hope he plays that same position that he played in Buffalo, kind of that hybrid defense transition role. I think that'll be perfect for him. The New York defense isn't the strongest, so he can come in and kind of help there, because, I mean, he played an extremely strong defense over in Buffalo, so he knows what it takes. And then getting out in transition, which New York actually does quite a bit, can play right into his hands as a shooter and a feeder. You know, he's in the record books at Michigan. He once held their single points record in a season, so
which is just getting broken this year, right?
Yeah, but it was broken in five games.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous. We will talk about that man at some point for sure.
With the nosy trade, you texted me, "Oh shit!" with 6 exclamation points,
and then in the text after that,
the text with the next trade we'll talk about is hilarious. I think, you know, even though they got a first round pick, like the Bandits did, I still think this is a massive win for the Riptide. This is a huge trade win to get a player of Brent Noseworthy's caliber. He's young, he's talented, and I think he's going to fit in really well with the Riptide. So big, big move there. And like I said, I thought, like, hey, if the Riptide make a move like this, that's cool. Like, they're planning for the future, but also bringing in a guy who's going to be here and kind of add to this young rotation that they're kind of trying to fill out. But then they made the biggest trade of the fucking trade deadline, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. The Rochester Nighthawks released Doug Udding from the active roster, and they placed practice player Mike Burke on the active roster from the practice player squad, and they removed his practice player tag. That's really the only thing Rochester did outside of trading Sean Evans. Here's where KB's going to get really mad. This is the first time since I started covering the NLL and getting to know Paul Day as well as I do. I love Paul Day. He is, like, people who have listened to this podcast know the relationship I have with Paul Day. Like, when my dad got out of the hospital with COVID, Paul Day was one of the first people to reach out and DM me. Great to see your dad's doing better. Glad he's home. Like, that's the type of relationship I have with Paul Day and a number of lacrosse coaches at the pro level, which is something in my wildest dreams I never thought of. So I love Paul Day to death. I will forever ride for him. These two trades he made, though, at this deadline, really left me scratching my head. And I wouldn't say I'm mad, I'm just confused. Because, one, the Wings still have an opportunity to fight for the wild card spot in the playoffs. Like, they're leaps and bounds ahead of Calgary in terms of win-loss right now, and they have a chance to really secure that wild card spot or somehow, someway sneak into the four seed if they're lucky. But when you go and trade your best offensive player this year to a team that's in first place in the West that you could end up seeing come the start of the playoffs, because a lot of people forget, like, it's just the top three in the West, top four in the East, and then the wild card, they crisscross. So, like, the top in the West could play the wild card team in the East. The Wings traded Brett Hickey to San Diego in exchange for San Diego's second round pick in 2024. I don't understand this move at all. This move left my head scratching. I was dropping, you know, what the fucks? Like, what are we doing? Brett Hickey has been a staple of this Wings roster since he was the first pick in the expansion draft for the Wings. He's a guy that, he was one of the heartbeats of this team along with Kevin Crowley. Like, he totally embraced the city. He's a guy that when opening night, Jason Mertidis called him Ryan Hickey. Twitter changed his display name to Brian Hickey. I just don't understand this move to give a team like San Diego a weapon like this on their right side to go with Westberg for a pick that's 2 years out. Made no sense to me whatsoever. This seemed like I truly have no answer for it, and hopefully we can get Paul on the podcast at some point so I can ask him, you know, really what was the antithesis of these moves that you made at the deadline, because they're head scratchers, and a lot of people online were scratching their heads at this move. More so than the other trade that we'll talk about with the Wings, but I truly don't understand trading Brett Hickey when you're in the thick of a playoff hunt.
He must not think they're in the thick of a playoff hunt.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
that's
I was texting Alex, our former photographer, who is now the Wings team photographer, about this, because Alex has been covering the team just as long as I have. We were blown away, and then there was a quote that came out after the second trade that said, we're looking forward to having insert player name here that we'll talk about on board with us as we make a push for the playoffs. What? I just don't, like, does this trade make any sense to you as a neutral party? Seeing the Wings, who you know are trying to fight for a playoff spot, trading one of their key players, who was probably their most consistent scorer this year too, for a second round pick 2 years out?
From the Wings side, it makes no sense.
None.
From the Seal side, it makes all the sense in the world that they officially see themselves as the best team in the league, and locking in Brett Hickey makes them the champion.
I wouldn't go that far, but they're certainly the top team in the West now. I still think Buffalo is better.
I mean, don't get me wrong, yeah, but like, you got,
like, that's going to be the championship game.
You got to put yourself in their head.
That's going to be the championship game now. It's going to be Buffalo and San Diego.
At this point, every person who is affiliated with the Seals believes they are the best team
in the league. Know what this trade brought me back to?
Oh no, I'm scared.
This trade gave me, and the first the example was not a trade. It was the NFL draft. I pictured San Diego's front office, friend of the program, Patrick Merrill, being in his office in San Diego with the rest of the front office there, like freaking out the way that the Vikings front office did when the Eagles took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. Like, that's the visual I got in my head. Like, they lost their minds that they were able to win a trade again. Like, Paul Day, along with Saskatchewan's GM, who everybody, you know, talks about Saskatchewan, and you don't want to make deals with them because they always screw you over. Paul Day is in that same category where, like, he rarely loses trades. I think this is a massive loss for Paul Day on his resume in terms of making trades. Now, did he recoup a little bit with this next deal? I don't know, because I haven't seen enough of the player that is coming to Philadelphia to really justify this trade. But Paul Day also traded another core initial OG member of this Philadelphia Wing squad, the Joker, Anthony Joakim, St. Joe's product, so Philly guy. So the Wings trade Joakim and their third-round pick in the 2022 entry draft to Colorado in exchange for Sam LeClair, which is a great lacrosse name, and the Mammoth second-round pick in the 2022 entry draft. So the Wings move up around and get another second-round pick in this year's draft while trading out of the third round. They trade Joker, who I texted you has arguably been one of our better defenders this year, and you get Sam LeClair back. I haven't watched enough Sam LeClair to really have a full-blown opinion on this deal. I'm more so just at a personal level. Joakim's always been a guy that has, you know, rocked with us and supported what I do in terms of covering the team, supports the podcast in terms of what we do covering the league. He's just an all-around dude that I'm going to miss.
So, I just had a total light bulb moment. The reason Paul Day traded Brett Hickey to the Seals is because he knew he was getting Sam LeClair. He traded Joakim because, well, the way I see it is he thinks the defense is already struggling this year. Ship him off, and we'll just outscore everyone. That's literally
the issue with this team, with this Wings team, is that
they're not outscoring anybody.
They're not outscoring anybody since, like, early January. That's their biggest problem. They're struggling to score. And Paul Day said that in his quote. You know, he said, our offense hasn't been that great this year. I'm trying to see if Sam LeClair is on the roster here now. Yeah. I mean, he's a forward, so that replaces Brett Hickey in terms of just position. But if you're the Philadelphia Wings, would you rather have Brett Hickey and, like, his physicality and, like, his ability to get to the crease and shoot fucking lasers that could be classified as two bombs if there was a two-point arc in the NLL? Or do you want, this is no diss at Sam LeClair either, do you want 5'10", 185-pound forward Sam LeClair?
Are you asking me personally, or are you...
Yeah. Like, if you had your druthers, what would you rather have? And I'll read you Paul Day's quote once you respond to this question, because if it's me, I'd rather have Brett Hickey just because I think he's the better player.
Ooh, it's hard because I also think that they're possibly looking ahead to the future again. And by going and getting Sam LeClair, they don't have to worry about re-signing Brett Hickey or anything with free agency. And now they can focus in the draft and getting all defense in transition, fixing the problems that they have.
Sam LeClair's got 9 points this year. He's got 6 goals and 3 assists in 4 games. 375 shooting percentage. He's got 8 loose balls, 1 game-winning goal. But this was Paul Day's quote on the addition of Sam LeClair. Our offense hasn't been effective this year, and we needed a change. Sam is a fast, dynamic player who adds to our inside game. His ability to drive to the net will complement Kyle Matisse's move to offense as we make a playoff push. We look forward to welcoming him to Philadelphia. You and I have said all year, though, that the Wings' biggest issue is that they have no transition game. Their transition's so slow. Everybody's terrified to run to the crease. Matt Rambo hasn't looked like himself since early January. And the fact that you didn't make a move to improve your transition game, and don't get me wrong, like, you have Trevor Baptiste. He's one of, if not the best faceoff guy on the planet, plus Kyle Matisse is a very solid veteran transition piece. But you look across the league, Reid Bowering, Zach Currier, you know, you look at just the way Buffalo's transition as a whole unit operates. You look at the way that Halifax operates in transition. You look at the way Albany operates in transition. The Wings, they get possession of the ball, and then it's like they wait an eon to get set and then force the ball to Kevin Crowley while everyone else has cement feet. You can't operate like that in today's NLL. It's not a, oh, let's heat check, you know, our best player on offense and see if he can find the back of the net. No. You need to be able to distribute and move the ball around in transition and get up and down the floor. And that's just simply not what the Wings have been able to do this year. And it's been so frustrating to watch them have to just like, okay, we got to wait for this person to get on the floor and then we're going to set up. No, go full throttle, full speed ahead and put the ball in the back of the net no matter who's out on the floor. Don't wait to set your offense up because you're waiting for Ben McIntosh to get on the floor. You're waiting for Blaze to get on the floor. Like, it makes no sense to me the way that their transition game is operated this year.
Yeah, it's like they don't want to score at all. It's like they don't even want to try. They're playing very methodical lacrosse, and methodical lacrosse just doesn't work. Like, you don't have a 60-second, you know, field lacrosse shot clock to get your entire offense on.
If 30 seconds. Time.
You got to do what you got to do with who's out there and make adjustments after.
And will Sam LeClaire's speed help this team? Maybe. But we don't know. You know, he's got to integrate himself into the offense. He's got to see, you know, who he meshes with. Well, I did see Alex Pace, friend of the program, quote tweet the tweet and said, let's go. So I think he and LeClaire have some history together. I just, the Wings really made me scratch my head this trade deadline. And I don't understand trading Joker. I don't understand trading Hickey. If you're Paul Day in a situation where you know this team's trying to make a playoff push, you're trying to do everything to keep those guys while also getting Sam LeClaire and figuring something out practice squad-wise with some of these practice squad players. But I just was blown away by the transactions made. And maybe we'll have Paul Day on to talk about it at some point. But we already talked about the next move on the transaction wire, which was Panther City trading Stephen LeBlanc to Georgia. The next trade is the biggest trade of the whole trade deadline, but we'll talk about Buffalo signing Dalton Sulver to the practice player list. There it is. We talked about it. This trade is very on brand for you. It's on brand for me because my West Division team makes a trade with your New York Riptide, and this trade just makes me laugh a lot in a lot of different ways. So the trade is... The New York Riptide have traded Tyson Gibson to Colorado in exchange for the Mammoths' first-round selection in 2024, Tyler Digby, and Ron John. Now, why does it make me laugh, TJ? Well, because we have Ron John Surf Shop officially on the island. Ron John Surf Shop is open for business on Long Island. Why does it make me laugh again? Well, because Tyler Digby is back in a New York Riptide uniform after last season, him hating being there, the front office hating him, and that's why they traded him to Colorado. Now he's back. Tyson Gibson going to Colorado. I love that for Colorado. I think that's a huge move. I think he's going to fit in well with Zeddy Ballgame up top. It's bonkos, though, because the Riptide just traded the 2019 number one overall pick in the entry draft, but got a king's ransom for him in a season where he has been the worst I've ever seen him. He has not performed up to snuff and been like the third guy that we have been clamoring for him to be, behind Teeter, behind Callum Crawford. He's really fallen on the depth chart in terms of just production. Like, Kieran McArdle's been much better. Connor Kiernan's been much better.
Larson Sundown.
There's been a number of guys who have just outperformed Tyson Gibson. Now he goes to Colorado. But Colorado gives up a lot to get him. And that blew my mind. I think the Riptide win this trade every single day of the week and twice on Sunday. This is a massive franchise-altering move for the New York Riptide.
1,000 times over. I won't have you read the text that I sent you after this one. I won't, because that'll ruin our state of the fandom later. So we'll get to that when we get there. But I absolutely love this trade. I think Ron John helps defensively and in transition, which they've been struggling with. Because, I mean, you can't just keep leaving big Orleman back there on an island. Like, he's been playing great, but if you can put a couple solid guys defensively in front of him and give him a guy to outlet to, this team will start to come together real quick. So I'm excited on that part. I mean, both ways, honestly. I think Tyson Gibson going out there, maybe being in a different offense where he'll kind of have more space. Maybe he'll slide into Tyler Digby's role and kind of be like a third forward option behind Zeddy Ballgame and Ryan Lee. And maybe his production will go up just because he's in a different offense. You know, those kind of things happen, you know. Maybe he was expecting to be two behind Crawford just out of respect for being, you know, 2019. And he didn't like the way things happened with Teeter. And that's what the whole mix-up was over there. And he'll just play better. Maybe Ben Simmons will do the same.
I doubt that. I actually underestimated how well Tyson Gibson had been playing this year. And this might have been just, like, recently, since the Riptide have been surging a little bit. He's played in 11 games. He scored 8 goals. He's had 20 assists for 28 points this year. His shooting percentage is where he's getting absolutely slaughtered. He's got a 145 shooting percentage, so that's where he's been getting crushed. He's got 11 turnovers to only 4 caused turnovers. 37 loose balls. I think him going to Colorado is going to help. He's still only 25. I think it's huge. And looking at Colorado's roster, like you said, Ryan Lee, Chris Wardle is there, Sam Firth, Zeddy Ballgame. You know, you got Eric Turner there as well, Tyson Gibson, Brett McIntyre on the practice squad along with Sam Firth, and then you got the Liger, Eli McLaughlin there. I think Gibson can really be a third option or a 3A with Chris Wardle from that right side, along with Ryan Lee, Zed, Eli McLaughlin. Like, they'll be able to do some things where I think it'll really help Tyson. He can actually distribute the ball more, get those assist numbers up. I like this deal for both teams, but I like it more for the Riptide. And this is a huge, again, franchise-altering trade for the New York Riptide. Ron John Surf Shop's open for business. Could not be happier that he is with the Riptide. That's just hilarious. But that's your NLL trade deadline. Who do you think's the biggest winner, biggest loser, and the biggest in-betweener of the trade deadline, Deej?
I mean, biggest winners, I'm going to have to go to three ways here, honestly. I think Georgia comes in as a huge winner with the last few weeks that they've had, and then adding Steven LeBlanc playing into that ambiance of trying to just outscore teams. I think that really helped them out, and they could be in a position to get one of those playoff spots. And then there's San Diego. Can't act like them not adding Brett Hickey doesn't make them arguably the best team in the league. And then obviously the Riptide. I mean, going out and addressing literally every problem that they've had to try and, I guess, and I mean, they know they're out of playoff contention at this point, but I think it's more of bolstering this year to grab a few more wins to head into the offseason feeling well and to come out next year progressing.
Hey, I wouldn't say they're out. They're only one game back in the loss column of Albany and Philly.
Well,
it's 2 games back in the win column. There's still plenty of weeks to go, but we'll see how that all shakes out. I think the Riptide are big winners. I think San Diego's a big winner. I think, I think Halifax is a big winner.
I wasn't going to disrespect you and call out who I think is the only loser of this trade.
I think there's two losers this trade deadline. It's the Wings and Rochester. We got that earlier trade with them trading Sean Evans away.
Yeah, but
I also think Saskatchewan's a loser for not doing anything. That blew my mind.
That's a solid point.
Them not trading away any of their unrestricted free agents to recoup any picks is bonkos.
They must be up there either telling them, A, they're about to retire, or B, we're about to re-sign.
Something, because that shook me. I was fully expecting them to have a fire sale, and they didn't do a single thing. But that's the NHL trade deadline. We'll run through the games real quick from last week just to touch on some of the big ones that happened. If my browser wants to not be stupid. Here we go, week 15.
Tell me about it.
Albany beats Halifax 8-7. I will never pick Halifax to beat Albany ever again until proven otherwise. Panther City gets a big old doozy of a win, 20-14 over Colorado. San Diego gets a last-second winner against Saskatchewan, 10-9. The Riptide beat Rochester 15-12. Georgia beats Halifax 10-9. Buffalo absolutely decimates Philadelphia 17-5. And Toronto does the same exact thing to Vancouver, 14-5. I hate blowouts. I just hate blowouts. It makes it less interesting in a league where you want close games. You want it to come down to the wire, like, you know, Albany-Halifax, like Saskatchewan-San Diego, like the Georgia-Halifax game. Even the Riptide-Rochester matchup where it was a three-goal game, like it was still going back and forth in the fourth quarter. Takeaways from last week? Anything stand out?
Panther City is good at lacrosse. Wow. That was crazy. Yeah. Literally, that was probably the one thing that I went this week. Like, after Colorado lost to Panther City, I said, my picks are in trouble this week. I was starting 0-2. And then I was in the midst of watching the San Diego game when I texted you. And I was like, oh, I just knew. Like, man, I don't know if this is going to be any good. San Diego pulled it out. That saved you. I had a little bit better week after that. But, man.
I went one.
This was a tough week.
It was rough.
I am in first place now.
You are in first place in the standings, which we'll get to our pick segment in just a bit. But let's get to the reason that people are here. Your state of the fandom. Your search for a favorite NHL team. Has anybody been eliminated? And what do the top five look like after the trade deadline?
I don't think anybody's been eliminated. But top five. We have a new 1A in town. The team that wears white, teal, a slight navy blue, and orange that plays on Long Island out of the Nassau Coliseum, the New York Riptide, is definitely my new 1A team. You think it's been a 1A for a while.
Your New York Riptide.
Definitely. 1B is still Buffalo. Halifax, after the showing they've had the past couple weeks, they've moved down to 4. The Wings are chilling at 5. Tied at 4 is San Diego. And chilling at 3, very comfortable, is Colorado.
So that is DJ's state of the fandom, his search for a favorite NHL team, which now brings us into the Week 16 NHL Picks of the Week, powered by the homies over at PickUp. You guys can go to playpickup.com. Start playing the hottest headlines in sports all on their website. It's free to play. Anybody can play. You rack up points on your fan profile. Cash them in for prizes. Go to playpickup.com and start winning prizes. Do it. It's that easy. I'm going to play music on here, DJ, that is not copyright. It's from StreamYard. It's called Feeding the Ducks. So this is our picks of the week as we record this at 12:56 a.m. Feeding the Ducks.
I love this.
We have Thursday night lacrosse, everybody. 9 o'clock p.m. on that teal field. Saskatchewan at Calgary for some Alterna Cup St. Patrick's Day showdown. I can't wait to see Calgary's St. Patrick's Day uniforms. They always, always come correct when it comes to the St. Patty's Day attire. I'm going with Calgary to win this game. The St. Patrick's Day thing is in their back pocket. Saskatchewan didn't do anything at the trade deadline. And they are on my do not pick list. So I'm going with Calgary to get the dub on St. Patty's Day.
I thought they were playing Panther City.
Nah, I think that's later this week.
Okay.
Yeah, that is on Saturday. Calgary has two games this week.
Okay, awesome. I will take Calgary in this game. Saskatchewan is definitely on my do not pick list. Let alone, like you said, they didn't make picks. And Calgary also, after not winning last week, I think they're going to come out and play pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it's St. Patrick's Day. Calgary always shows out. So, going to go with Calgary there. The next game is Friday night at the Ball Arena. Vancouver at Colorado, 9:30 p.m. start time, our only Friday game. How do you see this one playing out? Is Anthony Joakim probably playing in his first game in a Colorado Mammoth uniform?
There's no way Colorado doesn't win this game. Let's go back all the way week one. San Diego waltzes in to the Loud House, smacks Dylan Ward around 13-4. That might have even been week two.
Yeah, it was week two.
Okay, week two. Walks in, smacks him around 13-4. He gets pulled. They come out the next week and absolutely just run through. I don't even remember who they played, but it was unreal.
Yeah. Same thing. Vancouver.
Same thing happens this week. They hate when they lose, and they come out and they play very, very well the next game. Colorado, easy.
Yeah, I'm going Colorado. They're at home. Simple as that. Saturday, we got a doozy of a lineup. Looks like four games on the docket. Georgia Swarm head to Albany to take on the Firewolves in arguably one of the most important games in the Eastern Conference this season. Newly acquired Steven LeBlanc should be available to play in this one against what would be his former team almost. With the New England Black Wolves, now the Albany Firewolves, so a lot of old pals he's going to be playing against there. I just hate this matchup. It's so hard to predict because of the styles of play. But I'm going to go Albany. They're at home. The Death by a Thousand Cuts defense is there. I think they'll get the job done at home, and they're trying to, you know, lock in that playoff spot. So I'm going to go Albany here to win this game.
Eventually, we do this thing where we disagree. This is that game, because I'm going to quote you here. You cannot count out Lyle Thompson in a big game.
It's true.
And this is a big game because of where they are fighting. This could either be a playoff seeding game, or it could be a one team's in the playoff, one team is not game. The winner of this game, total rubber match, they win the series. I think Georgia takes care of business. I don't choose them often, but I think Georgia takes care of business. Just keep that guy Stinger away from me.
9 o'clock p.m. back at that teal turf. Calgary hosts Panther City in a West Division showdown. Two games in a weekend is tough. Panther City coming off a big win against Colorado. How do you see this one playing out, DJ?
I got to go Panther City. They're hot right now. They're rolling. They just acquired a new piece that could possibly help. So, yeah, we'll see kind of where they're going to come out, but I think they'll continue to roll. And Patrick Dodds is playing unbelievable. 11 points last game. There's no way that guy doesn't keep rolling. I have Reed Bowering at Roy right now, but if he keeps playing like that, there's no way Dodds doesn't get my vote. That doesn't exist.
Yeah. I'm on Panther City as well. They're playing way too well as a cohesive unit. So I like the way they're playing, and I'm going to go Panther City. 9:30 p.m. SaskTel Center. A battle of two teams officially on my do not pick list because I looked into the camera like I was Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio in Spider-Man Far From Home and told Rochester if they lost last week, I was done with them until further notice. Well, they lost last week and they're playing Saskatchewan. I don't know where I'm going with this game yet, so I'm going to let you take the reins and break this one down first because I truly don't know who I'm picking.
We talked about how Rochester pretty much threw away their entire offense. And as bad as Saskatchewan has been this year, one thing they do sort of kind of have is an offense. Sort of kind of. They got some guys that know how to play, but they get out there and half of them act like they don't know, and half of them do. And they score some goals and then they don't. And somehow they win a game here and there. This is one of those games they're going to win.
I'm going to look like an absolute fraud. And I'm going to pick Rochester. 10 o'clock p.m. I will be curled up in a ball with some ice cream, crying my eyes out because this will probably be Brett Hickey's San Diego Seals debut against the Colorado Mammoth at Pechanga Arena in San Diego. San Diego's a team that we said is kind of on that, until you give us a reason to, we're picking you. So I'm going with the Seals.
I will too, simply because Colorado plays twice.
True.
Along with the reasoning of they have not given me a reason not to pick them.
Very true. Next week is going to be a doozy for us because we have a bonkos amount of games. But we'll save that for next week. This week, week 16, our picks look like this. DJ's got Calgary, Colorado, Georgia, Panther City, Saskatchewan, San Diego. I've got Calgary, Colorado, Albany, Panther City, Rochester, San Diego. And those are your week 16 NLL picks of the week powered by the homies over at Pickup. You guys can go to playpickup.com now and start playing the hottest headlines in sports. Go to playpickup.com now. Rack up points on your fan profile. Cash them in for prizes. Playpickup.com. Shout out to Feeding the Ducks.
That's something I actually used to do. I used to go to the little park around the corner from my house now. It's called Millen Park here in Kalamazoo. They clearly have signs and they put out notices every year to tell people not to feed the ducks bread. And everybody and their mother still feeds the ducks bread. It was something I did growing up with my grandparents, my mother. It was so much fun.
We've got one last thing to discuss because we got PLL matchups announced this week. But before we do that, a couple of housekeeping ad reads for the people out there. Join our Underground Madness Bracket Challenge. It is the pinned tweet over at Underground PHI on the Twitter machine. I truly want to get that group up to like 60 plus people, participants, before first tip off at noon on Thursday. As you guys are listening to this right now, I believe we are, I will tell everybody where we're at because one of the prizes just came in for the people throughout the rounds, DJ. We are at 40 plus. Let's get to like 55, 60 plus people in this group. Every round, every winner of each round that is at the top of the table after each round of March Madness, you will be getting a 1994 Dick Vitale trading card. That's right. 1994 Dickie V, baby. Could you imagine Dickie V calling a lacrosse game?
Yes. Yes. Just yes.
Lyle Thompson, baby!
Him and
Breen?
And Breen. Oh, man. Let Breen do the play-by-play. And then we got to make this happen, people. Man.
So go join our bracket challenge. We want to get some of the OTB listeners up in there. And, of course, the winner at the end of March Madness gets the official locker room shirt if you win our bracket. So go join Underground Madness. This came to my attention just now, just thinking about it. We talked about it on the main pod on Wednesday night. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are leaving Fox and going to ESPN. We kind of have speculations, allegedly, that PLL is going to ESPN. Could we see Buck and Aikman, since they're only doing one NFL game, call some lacrosse? Because I would like to see it.
I, one, personally love Buck.
Same. Joe Buck is like fine wine.
And Troy,
he gets better with everybody with age.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And Troy Aikman's cool, so I mean, I'm down for it.
I would like to see it.
I don't care who calls the game as long as it's not that one guy.
Troy Aikman and Joe Buck would be awesome. I'd love that. That would be so sick.
Would maybe like Scott Ratliff, just so like there's like a guy that knows lacrosse in the booth.
On an Archer's off day. Scotty's great in the booth, man. He is fantastic in the booth.
He is. I guess we could go with one of those retired guys. Who would fit well with them? Maybe Joe Walters.
Joe Walters would be fun. K-18 would obviously be great.
Yeah. But then again, he's supposed to be doing that Manning light cast with Diggs.
True. That would also be electric. I need that to happen.
So if we got that on the side, we can get like Joe Walters or maybe John Galloway.
Yes.
Up with those two.
So we've got the 2022 PLL matchups that have come out. Very much enjoyed the graphics for all of these. We'll start with the Archers, obviously alphabetical order. So the Archers in 2022 will go and play Chrome in Albany. Then in Charlotte, they'll play Chaos. On Long Island, they will play the Cannons. In Baltimore, they get Atlas, the quote-unquote home team of Hopkins Weekend. Minneapolis, they play Redwoods. Fairfield, Connecticut, they'll be playing Cannons. Dallas, they'll be playing Atlas. Denver, they'll play Whipsnakes. Salt Lake City, they play Chaos. And in Seattle, they play the Water Dogs. Which matchup for the Archer stands out to you that is like, get your popcorn ready, let's ride?
Oh, it's got to be Chaos every single time. Now that the Ian McKay and Connor Fields trade happened last year and just the dynamic and fireworks between those two teams when they played each other, it was like the perfect example of we're friends off the field, but we're enemies when we step on. It was just a total battle. It was fun to watch. High scoring, tons of turnovers, tons of big hits. Every time those two are scheduled against each other, that's the one to circle.
I will say I'm looking more forward to the Salt Lake City matchup of Archers Chaos than I am the first matchup, just because it's on the same field as the championship series. And that is the last time Connor Fields put on a Chaos jersey back in the bubble.
And they got those backpack boys, which are from the city.
Facts. So. That's one that I'm circling. Can't wait to be watching from the comfort of my couch, because I will not be in Salt Lake. But
ever in my life.
Let's get into Atlas, the surprise team from last year, if you will. Week one in Albany, they'll be playing Redwoods. Week two in Charlotte, they'll be playing Cannons. Kind of a newish makeshift rivalry, I'd say. Although Paul's retired now. Still kind of there. Then we get the former college rivalry that no longer exists with these two teams. On Long Island, they'll play Whipsnakes. Homewood, Atlas get the Archers. Minneapolis Atlas get Chrome, which has slowly become like the fun little pseudo rivalry, I'd say, between these two teams. Atlas and Chrome, whenever they play each other, it's a dogfight. Fairfield, Connecticut, Atlas play Redwoods. Dallas Week, they'll play Archers. Denver, they play Water Dogs. Salt Lake City, they play Whipsnakes. And Seattle, they play Chaos. This is a tough schedule for the Atlas. You get two matchups with Whipsnakes in the regular season. You get two matchups with the Archers in the regular season. Two matchups with Redwoods in the regular season. That's very difficult in my book. And obviously you end the regular season against the defending champs. That's tough.
Yeah. And to me, it's that second Redwoods game. It's always the last three games of the year that really make a difference for a team. You can really look at Chaos. The last three games of the year leading up into the playoffs, they played extremely well, and that boosted them right in. If Atlas is able to beat the Redwoods, they'll be looking pretty good. Even if they drop one to Chaos at the end of the year, they'll be rolling in the playoffs with good momentum. So that's probably that's the game to watch for them.
Yeah, 100%. Cannons did a very good job with their release. They did the screen recording of the phone. Had obviously a certain podcast playing and rated it 1 star, which is hilarious. Their schedule, they've got the Water Dogs, two matchups, June 5th in Albany, and then July 31st, they'll play the Dogs. It's the battle of the expansion teams. I gotta wait for all of these to go through. They'll play Atlas in the first week of the season, or the second week of the season, June 11th, down in Charlotte. And then we've got... this is also interesting. I'm going to pause here. They play the Archers twice, June 18th and July 24th. They used Burke and his call of Morocco save in this announcement video. That's pretty interesting. Just saying.
Huh.
So they get the Archers twice. I'm going to see if I can just scroll through here and see a finished product. Yes, I can. Beautiful. So this is the Cannons' full schedule. They get the Water Dogs June 5th, Atlas June 11th, Archers June 18th, Chrome June 25th, Chaos July 2nd, then they get a bye week, and then All-Star, and then July 24th, they get the Archers, July 31st, they get the Water Dogs, August 5th, they get the Redwoods, August 13th, they get Chrome, August 21st, they get Whipsnakes. This is also kind of a difficult schedule, I'd say. Them and Water Dogs have had a couple battles last season that were, you know, pound for pound. I think them and Chrome is going to be an interesting matchup. They get them twice. And then you obviously get Chaos on your schedule, Redwoods and Whipsnakes once, but not as difficult, I'd say, as the Atlas schedule.
No, I don't think so either. I'm just looking for them to kind of have the same kind of season they had last year. Yeah. You know, they had a very good season last year. They didn't really lose any pieces other than Snyder.
Well, Cannons.
Oh, we're speaking of Cannon. Yeah, you're right.
They lost Paul.
Because you brought up Romaco. I mean, yeah, they lost Paul, and they made some really good moves.
A lot of trades.
And depending on who they get in the draft, I mean, you know, there's not a lot I'm expecting out of this group, I should say, because they made so many moves to get themselves in a competitive spot. But we said the same thing about expansion team Water Dogs last year, who were the one seed, and Atlas, who was the two seed. So they could have a very great year. I just want to, you know, I kind of just want to see progressiveness every week out of the Cannons. But if there's a game I'd have to say I want to see them play in.
For me, it's them against Chaos.
I would have to say the same. I think that'll be a fun matchup with them. I want to see how their defense is going to play against that offense.
Yeah,
I'm a big defensive buff.
So speaking of Chaos, they're ready to defend the crown. Albany week one, they open up with the Whip Snakes. So we get a rematch of the championship. Then in Charlotte, they play Archers. Long Island, they play Redwoods. Baltimore, they play the Dogs. Minneapolis, they play Cannons. Then they play Whip Snakes in Connecticut. They play the Redwoods in Dallas. They play Chrome in Denver. They play Archers in Salt Lake City. And then they play Seattle. In Seattle, they play Atlas. I mean, every single Chaos game is a must-watch. This team's too fun to not watch all their games. But, I mean, you get a championship rematch in Albany, where a lot went down for Chaos to even like get where they were playoffs-wise last year. Everything's bigger in Texas. They play Redwoods in Dallas. And then, obviously, that Salt Lake City-Archers matchup is going to be a ton of fun. That's where I'm at with this Chaos roster. Tough schedule for the defending champs, for sure. Having to play Redwoods twice, Archers twice, Whip Snakes twice. It's a tough schedule for a team looking to repeat.
Tough, but I think it's a schedule they can do very well in. They play better when they got to play on their toes every week, and that's kind of what the schedule's built like. I'm really excited for... I just had a game in mind. Water Ducks. I want to see them play that Canadian back and forth. It's just that's going to be fun to watch, especially because Chaos kind of ran away with it last year. Yeah. So I want to see if Water Ducks have something to say about that.
So far, Chrome has the best graphic release, comic book style. Looks super cool. Their schedule looks like this. Opening weekend in Albany, they play Archers. Charlotte, they play Redwoods. Long Island, they play the Dogs. Baltimore, they play Cannons. Minneapolis, they play Atlas. Fairfield, they play the Dogs. Dallas, they play Whip Snakes. Denver, they play Chaos. Salt Lake City, they play Cannons. And then they wrap up in Seattle against Redwoods. They get Redwoods twice. They get Cannons twice. And they get Water Dogs twice on their schedule. I don't hate the schedule for them. Obviously, we all assume they're going to take Chris Gray with that number one overall pick to add to their offense. I just want to see Chrome play consistent lacrosse. That's what I'm looking for from them this year. Obviously, the big matchup that I really want to watch in terms of just them progressing, I think it's going to be them against Whip Snakes. Because... We all know all too well, Chrome find a way to beat Whip Snakes in the regular season every single year. So I want to see if they can do it again. And that game's in Dallas, so it'll be a lot of fun down in July. That's what I'm looking for from Chrome this year, is just play consistent, cohesive lacrosse all season long.
Yeah, don't chastise me, people, but I think Chrome shouldn't take Chris Gray first. He plays a very quarterback-like role, and I think Jackson Merrill does that just fine for Chrome, unless they want to run him at a hybrid role up top, kind of like Jules does, which
That's
is okay.
I feel like they're going to do.
Which is okay as well, but I mean, at that point, why not just draft Mekhi Montgomery, who can already play that role? You know, like,
true.
Why change a guy and change your offense, maybe? When you could just slide a guy in that's already ready to do that. I don't know. We'll see what they do, but that's a possibility. That might be what I would have done as coach. I don't know. I'd have to evaluate some things, but it's always Atlas for me. Always Atlas. It's like Chrome hates Atlas.
Yeah.
They see that blue and white, and they're just like, ugh. There's nothing about anybody that's wearing that color that I enjoy. And they come out and they play with fire, and it's always fun.
So let's get to our Woods, Roll Woods 2022 season schedule. We open up Albany against Atlas. Charlotte, they play Chrome. Long Island, they play Chaos. Just add this to the storybook of the only rivalry in the league. Homewood, we get Woods Whips. That's just electric. Minneapolis, it's Archers. Fairfield, Connecticut, it's Atlas once again. Dallas, they play Chaos. Denver, they play Cannons. Salt Lake City, they play the Dogs. And then Seattle, they wrap up against Chrome. Tough schedule, getting Atlas twice, where Atlas bullied this team last year in a number of facets. You get Chrome twice, which I like. You get Chaos twice. Only playing Whips once is interesting, so you got to make that one count. And, of course, it's in Baltimore. It's at historic Homewood Field. That's the one I'm circling. I can't wait for that game.
Oh, yeah. Definitely that game, 100%. Not even just because it's a rivalry, but because as long as I'm not summer coaching, that will be my first time at Homewood. Dude, and what a game to see at a place like that.
Let me tell you.
I don't circle that.
Homewood is one of those places that when I walked in there the first time in 2019, I got chills. I was like, okay, I know this place is special. So I always love going back there every single year. The Water Dogs released their schedule through Pardon My Take with the caption on the tweet on the Pardon My Take Twitter account, DJ. It says, the PLL told Big Cat and PFT they couldn't release the schedule until 1 p.m. Eastern time. As owners, they respectfully do not care. Ring chasing season at PLL Water Dogs.
Absolutely love that. Hashtag ring chasing.
So, I got to go to the Water Dogs account because they had Jake Marsh announcing everything. Let's see where the graphic is. Here we go. So, this is the Water Dogs schedule. They kick things off in Albany, battle of the expansion teams against Cannons. Then they head down to Charlotte to play Whipsnakes. Then on Long Island, they play Chrome. Baltimore, they play Chaos. Minneapolis, they play Whipsnakes. Fairfield, they play Chrome. Dallas, they play Cannons. Denver, they play Atlas. Salt Lake City, they play Redwoods. And then Seattle, they play Archers. So the Dogs play Cannons twice. They play Whips twice. And they play Chrome twice. Tough for them that they play Whips twice in 4 weeks. I'll say that. I am looking forward to them at Homewood as well in the Canadian style matchup playing Chaos. This Dogs team is very intriguing. They've added some pieces like our guy Reed Bowering. So I'm excited to see what they do to kind of build off of that one seed spot last year that just slipped away from them. But they have so much talent on this roster that I'd be shocked if they're not a playoff team again.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they're going to come out with. And I like that back-to-back stretch, like you said. They have, the Whips twice in, 4 weeks, I think it is? Or?
So it's Whips, two matchups, and then Whips again.
Yep, that's perfect. Because if you beat the Whips the first time and you roll into those next two and you play well, and you beat them a second time.
Yeah.
That's four games in a row. And I mean, only playing 10, all you got to do is probably win two more outside of that, and you're in the playoffs. I mean, sounds good to me.
Yeah. Then we got the Out for Revenge Whipsnakes schedule. Week one, obviously, championship rematch against Chaos. Charlotte, they play Water Dogs. Long Island, they play Atlas. Baltimore, you get that historic Homewood Field rivalry matchup against the Woods. Minneapolis, they play the Water Dogs. Fairfield, they play Chaos. Dallas, they play Chrome. Denver, they play Archers. Salt Lake City, they play Atlas. And then week 11, they wrap things up regular season-wise against the Cannons in Seattle. So the Whips have a difficult schedule. They play Chaos twice in Albany and in Fairfield. They play Water Dogs twice in Charlotte and Minneapolis. And then they play Atlas twice on Long Island and then in Salt Lake City, along with matchups against Redwoods, Chrome, and Cannons. So difficult schedule for the Whips coming off a championship game loss. It's obviously that Homewood game that I'm circling, but I'm also looking forward to them playing Chaos in both of those matchups because that's the baby brother rivalry.
Yeah, I gotta see that first matchup. One of my favorite matchups of every season is that playoff or that championship rematch. That's normally the first game of the year. I just love to see because a lot of times that team that lost comes out and wins. I want to see how the Whipsnakes react, even though I don't think they'll beat Chaos. I want to see how they react to losing championship for the first time.
Yeah, the PLL also announced Mark Brady will be the league's VP of media. He's going to focus on strengthening/innovating broadcast and streaming biz, including original show intellectual property. That sounds like a pre- and post-game show to me. Previously, he was the coordinating producer for the NFL, and he's a Northwestern guy. So that's huge in my book. And also, I don't know if you saw, I got to find it here because he tweeted at RJ. Let me see if I can find it. Josh, who formerly worked at Barstool, is leaving Barstool, and he is starting his own social media consultation company, going back to Baltimore to do everything. And his first client is the PLL. He's electric with his fingers on social media. The dude just knows exactly what to do, exactly what, you know, companies need and everything. I'm excited to see what he does, where, you know, his first client being the PLL is going to be awesome. And he's going to be helping their TikTok as well. So I'm excited to see what Josh does to grow the social media portion of the PLL, because he's super, super talented.
Yeah, TikTok is going to be huge. That's a place that I feel like doesn't get enough love from PLL. But, I mean, it's hard, too, because, like, to do well on TikTok, like, I mean, granted, they have a following, so they're going to do well because they're a league. But, like, to do very good on TikTok, you have to put in time. So to have a guy like Josh come in, it's going to be very helpful to TikTok, because they have the Twitter thing down for sure. Instagram gets plenty of love. Facebook does well, YouTube, all of that. So they're doing well all around. So to have Josh come in, he might even be able to almost solely work on TikTok, or a very large majority of his time to TikTok, and that'll help boost the league as well.
Yeah, so that's all we got for you guys. Be sure to follow us on the socials at OTB Laxpod on Twitter and Instagram. Follow DJ on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Check out the website, undergroundsportsphiladelphia.com, for all of our written content. And subscribe to the podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Leave those 5-star ratings and reviews. Let us know your favorite matchups of this PLL 2022 season, how you felt about, you know, the moves made at the NLL trade deadline, all that good stuff. 5 stars only, because we have standards. We know you do too, and we know they're 5 stars. Also, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. We are 25 subscribers away from the self-imposed 100 subscriber cap to start uploading full video episodes of all your favorite Underground Sports Philadelphia shows onto our YouTube channel. So go subscribe today. And of course, join our March Madness Bracket Challenge. Underground Madness is live at Underground PHI on Twitter. It's our pinned tweet. Go join that thing for your shot at the crown, a number of prizes throughout the tournament, and all that good stuff. And a big thank you to our sponsors, Tomahawk Shades. Go to TomahawkShades.com. Use promo code USP for 25% off at checkout. You get the sunglasses, the blue light glasses, everything in between. TomahawkShades.com. Promo code USP for 25% off your entire order. And Kenwood Beer. Go to KenwoodBeer.com and use the Kenny Tracker to see what's Kenwood Beer on tap in the Philadelphia area. You got to be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. This has been episode number 213 of the allegedly award-nominated and still not ranked Outside the Box podcast. A little early episode for you guys with the Thursday night NLL action. But for DJ, I'm KB. And until next week, we are signing off. Peace. Peace. It's gonna be hard.